Good evening, everyone. Thank you for obviously tuning in. I'm just covering for Lee this week. So if anyone wants to come up and obviously talk about what's happened, obviously over the weekend and over the previous week regarding the 5-1 loss yesterday, season tickets and anything to do with Wimbledon, then please do obviously just request and speak. But yeah, first of all, I think going into about yesterday's game, 5-1, well, what can I say? It was just possibly the worst Wimbledon performance I think I've seen, just for a long time. There's just no desire, no kind of passion really, apart from maybe one or two players. It was just horrendous. Evening, Robin.
Good evening. With yesterday's game, I actually enjoyed it more than the ones recently, because at least we didn't lose it last minute. I mean, obviously, it wasn't much fun losing, but at least it wasn't the crushing last-minute emotions, although we still gave away a goal in injury time.
Oh, yeah, every cloud. But yeah, I mean, in terms of yesterday, I thought we started well, and then it's just the... I can't really put my finger on what happened. It was just horrendous. And you got players, obviously... I understand you're kind of four goals down, but it's just half of them just looked like I didn't really want to be there. I know there was obviously some talks about some players just at the end giving mouthful to fans. I mean, they're human, so it's kind of expected. But yeah, I think the Jackson out chanting really speaks a lot of how we are feeling as a fan base, and maybe how we're feeling. Maybe not even just towards the manager. I think he's taking the brunt of it, really. I think how we're feeling as a fan base in regards to lack of communication from the club, in regards to what the plan is and what we're aiming to do. But yeah, I think the vast majority of fans, if they could get rid of Jackson now, they would. And it's looking like we won't. So yeah, if anyone wants to come up and obviously have their say on anything, please do request.
I might say with Jackson, I do wonder, and I know there's been some stuff floated around, and I don't know if there's any credibility to it over the possibility that, like, should we place at a certain point at the league as a cheaper payoff or whatever, like, there's a certain, like, thing in the contract, maybe. Although that being said, with the whole, I think, is it May the 2nd or something like that, where you got, I think, is it Mick, Buckley, Danny, Craig Cope and Johnny speaking, so obviously they'd throw out the manager then if they were planning on letting him go. So yeah, I don't know about that really.
Yeah, look, I think the funny thing for me is obviously I think we all kind of, well, I don't think any manager gets this far in their job if we weren't going to stick with him. So I think it kind of is speaking volumes of the fact that he's obviously one, still here, and two, he's been put out in front of the fans on the second, just kind of, well, I can't begin to imagine the amount of abuse that he'll probably receive. And I think there's other people on that kind of panel of people that maybe the, not abuse, but some of the annoyance should be directed to a bit more than maybe just Jackson. I don't know what you think of that, Kevin.
Hello, so yeah, can you hear me? Yeah,
yes,
evening, everyone. I do think that he's taking a lot of abuse on the back of other people. If we talk about him, I mean, he must have rhino skin, the amount that he's taken. He just don't seem to flinch, does he? So I think an amount of what happened yesterday was probably aimed at others, be the board, the trust, whoever, yeah, you know. So I don't think it was solely at him. But, I mean, he's clearly going to be here for next year. And I think, as we said last week or the week after, yeah, we just have to get on with it and accept it. I mean, as for yesterday, two words. One's embarrassing and two's a shambles. You know, we set up to try and draw that game against the team who ain't won away for God knows how long, and we get absolutely ripped apart in midfield. It takes him ages to change to a five from a four. Absolute shambles. And then, obviously, Captain Calamity between the sticks has his moment. So, yeah, just a shambles day, really.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Well, I mean, Zenev, I think, although he's maybe redeemed himself this season from last season, I think yesterday does still kind of speak volumes of maybe next year we do need to bring in a keeper that doesn't literally shit the bed when the ball's past him on his left foot, or can't get his foot under the ball when he's got two men kind of, well, they weren't even that close to him. He just kind of, well, just passed it to him. And then, yeah, I think now time of Zenev is up. Mick, do you want to say anything? Evening, mate.
Hello. Hello, Jack Montney. How you doing, mate? Yeah, the it's funny because I went in the, not funny, I don't mean funny, ha-ha, but I went in the bar yesterday and a couple of people said to me, in the Phoenix, and a couple of people said to me, oh, well, what are you saying now, Mick? I bet you, it might not be time to, one guy said to me, it's not time to say I told you so, was one guy said to me. And it wasn't that at all, because had we won the game 3-0, and I'd have walked in the bar afterwards and I would have gone in there anyway, and someone would have said, look, it's all changed because we won 3-0, that would have been a silly comment, wouldn't it? So it didn't. I don't think an awful lot changed yesterday with the 5-1. I know it looks bad on the headline 5-1, it's a disaster and the rest of it. But at the end of a season, when you have these games, you are going to get some mad results. And I said on Twitter, and I got laughed at and ridiculed. I'm getting quite used to it, so I don't mind too much. But it wasn't really a 5-1 game. It's one of those things. I think in terms of the manager, I honestly can't see any point at all in sacking him now. I think there was a gaping window 9 or 10 games ago, which we chose not to climb through for whatever reasons, which weren't made clear to any fans at the time. But we didn't do it then. So I honestly can't see the point at all in doing it now. We might as well. We're kind of in poker terms, we're all in now, aren't we? So we might as well wait till the river and see where we are, because there's only two more games to go. We're not going to go down now. We know that. Let's stick with him for two more games and let's see what he says on. I mean, I can't go on Thursday, but I hope people do and ask a few sort of searching questions. But let's see what he says there. And, you know, maybe it's the case that he, Craig Cope and Danny and come as a package. Maybe if one of them goes, maybe they all want to go. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the thinking behind it is. But I just in terms of sacking him, Jack, I just can't really see the point in all honesty. Now, I don't, why? What are we going to gain for the last two games by sacking him? I don't see any point in it at all. So I'd leave him in there. And incidentally, people should sort of be a little bit scared on Saturday against Tranmere. Tranmere are an attacking team, and they've got a new manager and they'll be coming forward on Saturday. So it could be a high-scoring game again, but we might win this one 5-1. It's the end of the season. These things happen, you know. But that even if we do win it 5-1, it obviously, just like losing 1-5-1, it doesn't really change that much. I think at some point we need to sit down and have a review of the whole thing and then see what we think of it all and try and find a justification for sticking with the same people for next season. And it looks like we are going to do that. So I hope that the people who were in charge and have decided that can find a way of convincing us all that that's a really good idea to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. I think the window of opportunity to maybe get rid of Jackson has gone. I think, as you said, I think it's pretty much stone cold that we are going to kind of stick with him and he will be our manager next season unless kind of something drastically changes. I think yesterday, as I said, the atmosphere and the hostility towards... I've never seen it anywhere where we're kind of singing for a manager to kind of be good, like get rid of him in that kind of strong sense of feeling. And it, to me, it was... Obviously, I understand that I'm not really Johnny Jackson's biggest fan, but it's not... I don't want to say it was embarrassing, but it's just... like I kind of do feel for the bloke, because I think in January, I think the board or the PLC, whoever decides, obviously budget, sat there and were like, oh, you know what, we're already pretty much safe. We'll just not reinvest when maybe we could have potentially gone for a playoff push. But, you know, I think we're very fortunate to be in the position where we have stayed up. And yesterday, where fans are going, Crawley have won. But to me, I just find that farcical and embarrassing. We shouldn't be in the position where on the third last day of the season we're literally looking at other teams' results to be the fact that we're still in this league, we're still in the Football League. Like, to me, that it's just something systematically wrong with maybe the attitude of how people think, maybe towards where the club's going or how comfortable we are as a club in the position we are. Kevin?
I think you're right about the lack of funds in January. I think you're absolutely spot on, mate. We had a great opportunity. Yeah, we were sitting quite comfortably mid-table. We could have spent a few quid and tried to have a little bit of a go to maybe get a playoff place, but they didn't do that. Yeah, what they did was we're definitely safe this summer, or we're definitely safe to the summer, so we can not spend anything, which has been really the rules or the plan for the last God knows how many years. Spend as little as we can and just try and be, in this case, third worst, which is probably what we're going to end up as. So, yeah, I think he has been shit on, to be quite honest with you, by the board, by the trust, whoever decides to do that, yeah? But what reason is there to keep him? I can't find a reason, you know, and to say, well, there's only two games to go, yeah, that's as good a time as any, because it gives us two games to get rid of him and then a month or so. Because realistically, if Craig copes to win all the recruitment, yeah, it doesn't matter who goes in there. Yeah, he should have no say in it. Yeah, Copes should have it all set out. He's got his targets. So we just find a manager that suits his targets. So for me, it's a perfect time for him to go.
Robin?
I was just going to say, on the January window, I feel like a bit of a problem there is you never really know what you're getting, and it's also a pretty bad time to buy. And obviously, it's not an option, but I feel like the best option we would have had would have been to keep hold of Asal. I obviously know the contract says what it says. If he's bought for the money, he's bought for the money. But I don't think you couldn't really have bought much better if you'd tried. That at the same time, yeah, I don't think he was given sort of. I mean, we got in loans and 2 threes. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we spent any money. Which, I mean, yeah, that's not the ambition. That's not sort of looking for a playoff place. It's accepting sort of, okay, this will almost certainly be mediocrity. But I mean, at this point, I just want the season to end. I want to hear about some transfers, maybe. Just want to hear some good news. I doubt it's going to be anything to do with Jackson. So I'm just hoping that all of a sudden it'll magically turn around on the pitch, which is stupid. But I don't even know at this point.
Can only hope. Sam, evening, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Thank you. I wasn't at the game yesterday, so I'm probably a lot better than those that were there. I was actually at Wrexham yesterday for work, and do you know, that place is just totally galvanised. I know everyone knows the story. It's not bore everyone with it, but that place is just totally galvanised by those two up there. It just gets you thinking, doesn't it? But I don't know. You know, I'm not saying we need to sell this club, but something has to change this summer. I don't know what there needs to be. Yeah, the investment is obviously the main thing, then the manager. But going back to Jackson quickly, guys, I look at him and I was thinking, on the way home, a long way home from Wrexham yourself, I was thinking, I wonder if they'll be in for a Sunday session. You see it all the time, don't you? You see managers go out furious with these boys. It's disgraceful. It's embarrassing. They'll be in tomorrow morning. We'll be having a chat. Do you look at Jackson, you ever go, God, I bet, I really think he'd be well up for cancelling his Sunday off to get the bottom of the problem? Because I look at him and go, nah, he'll do it Monday, won't he? He ain't going to give up his Sunday off. What? He doesn't look the person. He just doesn't. His face just does not fit at this football club in any way, shape or form. And do you know what? I am absolutely gutted that I can't make that fans forum on next Tuesday. I'm heartbroken because there will be some truth bombs coming from me. Hopefully, we'll be able to submit some questions. I doubt they'll be given word for word for mine. But yeah, a few ramblings this evening. That's about it, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I do agree in some extent, obviously. Yeah, I think the talk on next Tuesday, the one after, I think that will say a lot from how the answers that we receive from the people on the panel will tell us where we are as a club. And obviously, I don't know if it will be, and Chris is here, so he might be able to tell us, but will it be kind of relayed back to the fans on what's said, or is it one of the events where you have to be there to know what was said, or, you know, so, but yeah, it'd be nice for everyone to kind of be able to submit questions and get to know, obviously, the answers that were said. Mick, you had your hand up, mate.
Yeah, I'm just coming back on the January transfer window and whether or not Johnny was shafted in that. I think my suspicion is he probably was, you know, in the sense we lost, I think, pretty much by common consent, our best two players in the January window. We did pick up a really good one in Ali as well, and whoever was responsible for that, whether it was Johnny or Craig Cope or the other fella, Jamie Jones or whatever his name was, whoever was responsible for that deserves a medal. But yeah, we lost our best two players and we were bound to suffer. But I'm absolutely convinced the squad is miles better than 2021 in the league, wherever it is we are. And we certainly aren't the only team in the EFL who lost our best player in a transfer and then didn't buy anybody else. And it does happen to teams all the time. And I think if we're sensibly going to move on and sensibly going to improve, and I would say this I shouldn't think it'll ever happen, but if we ever had a beer with Johnny Jackson, I would say this to him, that you can't improve unless you accept that where you were and what went wrong and stuff. And I think if we hide behind that, then we're not really accepting reality. There's no way this... I mean, we're in severe danger, for example, of Harrogate finishing ahead of us. Now, I've seen us home and away against Harrogate, and we are miles better than them. Miles and miles better than them. And they probably will finish above us. I mean, and that's an absolute nonsense. Whether we've got Ayoub Assal or Ali Alhamadi, or whether we've got Riley Towler or Will Nightingale playing the back four, for a team like that to be ahead of us is just a massive underperformance, injuries or not. And I think your best chance of improving is when you, and making amends for stuff, is when you accept that what you've done wrong and where you've gone wrong. I mean, that's first thing is to accept that you've done something wrong. And then I'm talking about life in general. And then look at where you got it wrong and where you can do it better next time. And I just wonder, and I think this is when I talk about communication, this is what I think we lack a little bit sometimes, is that it's all very well saying we've learned. What have we learned?
Didn't we hold our hands up this time last year? With Palmer in the transfer window and the non-strengthening. And didn't we hold our hands up? How much redemption is going to be allowed to be said on this board? Because I tell you what, next season... It is going to get toxic.
Yeah, but George, I take your point there. But I mean, with the greatest respect to you, I wasn't really talking about the behind the scenes stuff. I was just talking about Johnny Jackson. And yeah, I agree with you. So obviously, selling Palmer when we did and not replacing him. I think football's like economics, isn't it? We're always 6 months behind when we find out what was actually going on. But I think everybody knows now that getting rid of Ollie Palmer and not replacing him with a credible alternative was a mistake, although you could argue that the lad at Cosgrove then went to Plymouth and did pretty well there. So maybe we made mistakes in handling him and stuff. But yeah, I agree, mate. Yeah, it appears that we're making the same mistakes behind the scenes again and again and again. But I just think, you know, with regards this season, we shouldn't be in 20. I mean, if we're 15th, 16th, 14th, 13th, 20th, you know what? We've had a few injuries, we lost a cell, you'd say, you know what, that's okay. You know, it's not a disaster. But where we are is really, really poor. And I haven't got any choice but to give the manager a chance, because it seems like he's going to be in charge next season. And obviously we're all in the business of hoping Wimbledon do well. So I hope he does really, really well. But I think his best chance of doing that is if he firstly accepts that he's made a bit of a pig's ear of it sometimes, and then looks at reasons why that was. And perhaps he is, perhaps behind the scenes he's saying, you know what, that sort of ticky-tacker first 10 games was a nonsense, because it certainly was. Perhaps he's looking behind the scenes and saying, you know, I shouldn't have played certain plays in every single game regardless of how well they played and all that. Maybe he is doing that. But I think in some respects, without naming necessarily naming the players, or I think if he was a bit more open with the fans, we'd have more chance of people getting on board with him.
Yeah, I do agree. Obviously, we're just going to go to Chris quickly, and then Rich, and then Kevin.
Hi, mate. Yeah, it will be recorded and highlights will be put out of the event itself the next day. Obviously, when I say highlights, I kind of mean the event in its entirety, so that every question can be watched back and everyone can see it for anyone who doesn't attend it. But yeah, I'd encourage as many people to come along as they can, because obviously it's a chance for you to have your say. Obviously everyone's disappointed with the season we've had. So yeah, it's a perfect opportunity to get your point across in person. So yeah.
Lovely. Thank you for obviously coming on and clarifying that, mate. I think a lot of people obviously, well, put their mind at ease of obviously not being able to make it. So cheers. Rich.
Evening, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Do you know what? I was watching the highlights this morning, and Richie Wellens was on there, the late Norwich manager, and this is fundamentally where we've got it wrong already for next season. He was talking about when he took over, late Norwich were 20th. They'd had a terrible season. He talked about, like, they have to finish the season strongly and build a winning mentality, build a winning culture for next season. We gave up this season in February. We started putting up things for next season. Everyone you hear, oh yeah, next season will be all right. Next season will be like, even Johnny Jackson saying it. And we're finishing the season horrifically, and people think it's all going to change next season. Nothing's going to change. They basically gave up in January when they didn't replace the Sal. And you look at Leighton Orient last year, they've had a shocking season, finished it strongly, and you carry that into the season after. They didn't even have to make too many signings this summer. We have to get a clear out now, because we've just handled this so badly. So all this excitement about next season, it's impossible to get excited about anything, because they have built a loser mentality. We'll keep most of these players. We'll keep Captain Fantastic, Woody, and nothing will change next season. And it looks like we're still going to have Jackson. And that's why we're not going to go up like Leighton Orient have.
Yeah, and I think, well, obviously, the next point we'll talk about after Kevin is obviously season tickets. I've seen a lot of kind of on Twitter and obviously Facebook groups, there's a lot of people obviously heavily debating not renewing, obviously for different reasons, i.e. being price or just the play style or whatever. But Kevin, what do you want to say, mate?
Yeah, I think I 100% agree with Rich, what he's just said. Yeah. And to come back on Mick's point, we don't learn. That's our problem. This is an inherent problem that we've had for a number of seasons. And at the end of the season, people go, oh, it'll be different next season. And guess what? It ain't. It's worse, if anything, yeah? Until somebody actually gets hold of this and says, this is really broken, we need to sort this out, we'll continue to spiral.
Yeah, and, well, it's just... I agree again with what Richard said. I think after last season, where we finished it that badly, and I think we were very... Well, Gillingham were absolutely dog... the beginning of the season, so I think kind of it was a kind of a false hope of like, oh, you know, we're back to winning ways because of kind of the couple of games after where we were just dross. I think, yeah, going in back-to-back seasons, finishing the season this poorly, it has to be a clear out in terms of the mentality of the squad and some of the players,
and a reason to get rid of him now. Yeah, because it ain't going to change if he's still there when the first ball's kicked in August. It will be exactly the same, yeah? We'll have the same shit sitting in the squad with a few new faces. He'll still be standing on the touchline, putting out fucking pathetic, just shit tactics and not doing anything. Something has got to change, and he has got to be the main issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mean, the problem can be put to Jackson, obviously the backroom stuff as well, but I think there's a lot of players in this squad that don't, some of them are on ridiculous money and don't pull their weight. Like George Marsh, for example, is probably one of the highest earners. Mate, I'm going to be honest, when he comes on, he does all right, but he hardly plays. You know, we brought him in thinking to be kind of a prodigy in that midfield. The same with Bendel. I mean, Bendel's on quite a lot of money and something in his contract where money goes elsewhere.
If Bendel don't start Saturday, yeah, then the lad's gone in the summer, I would imagine. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There is absolutely no reason to start Woodyard, Marsh, or any of them in front of him. Yeah. If he's got any plans, the Saturday should be a team of kids. There should be players who shouldn't even be near that first team next Saturday, but they will be, and everybody knows they will be. And that's why it ain't going to change.
Yeah, and I think Craig Cope, obviously, I think we've got to put a lot of trust in him. I know kind of there's talks of him saying that it will take quite a while to kind of gut this squad and get it to the position where, and the mentality and skill level that he thinks will be able to compete for, well, than what is a lot better than what we have now. So I think obviously it's not going to be summer transfer window next season. It's not going to be turned around straight away. I think a lot of us can accept that, but anything better than what we're seeing since January is going to be a lot, kind of a step in the right direction, but not at the final destination. I'm just going to move on, obviously, to season tickets, because obviously the news got released about this kind of week about the renewals and stuff like that. I mean, firstly, I think anyone that's kind of not going, you know, we're going to boycott season tickets, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't buy a season ticket, then obviously the budget's going to be dramatically reduced. I understand why some people don't want to get a season ticket after kind of what they've seen this year. I don't know if anyone has anything to say about, obviously, the price rises. Obviously, we know inflation, it's got to go up, and obviously we accept that. But for me, removing some of the kind of the caps, of obviously it was under 11s. I think they've got rid of that now. So I think now it's under 17s. So for any age kid, I think it is about £120. And I know they're trying to move families, obviously, from the main stand to the east stand, when, I mean, there's a lot of kind of backlash from families, especially about that. But I don't know if anyone has anything to say, Robin.
Yeah, I was going to talk about exactly that. I can see why they've done it, and I can see sort of the monetary reasons behind it. But if you're turning up, I don't see how any sort of, especially sort of people who've been sporting us for longer and they want to bring their kids along. And I don't see why anyone would want to move from like a proper permanent stand that has access to what I'd view as like the nicest part of the ground to what is a temporary stand. And the view's probably fine, but it just doesn't look as nice. And I feel like that, I can see why they've done it, but at the same time, with sort of all the people debating renewing it, I'm not sure they're going to be picking up much extra money from releasing the extra seats if people just decide they don't want the seats at all.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there's people that have paid for debentures in the knowledge that they'll be sitting there for however long. And I know, obviously, some people that I know from obviously going to games that go with their kids and, you know, have a group of people, that they feel like they're being kind of forced out, when some of them have kind of young kids that obviously need baby changing facilities and stuff like that. And obviously the main stand's probably the best place for that. And I don't think the East Stand obviously has that kind of facilities, which, I mean, some people were worried about, but obviously that's not the main problem. I'm just saying that as a minute example. Mick, quickly, and then we'll go to SB.
Yeah, just quickly on that point, Jack, I think I kind of agree with Robin here. I think what we haven't taken into consideration when we made this decision was that the vast majority of people who take little, I mean, I'm all about little kids who go. I'd be very surprised if they go every week anyway. And when you buy a season ticket for a little kid, I mean, the little kids are 6, 7, 8 years old, they aren't going to want to all be able to go every week. There's kids' parties and all sorts of stuff on. So I think moving them into the East Stand, what you tend to get is, or what you're going to get is people say, well, you know what, for the family, then it's not worth it. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't lose a few people on the back of that. You know that when in politics, when they talk about if you tax people too much, you actually end up getting less tax. I can never really work it out. But I think it might be one of those situations where we end up, because we're trying to squeeze people into a stand they don't want to go into, we end up losing out. And the fact of the matter is the ground's not going to be selling out anyway, so I can't really see it's really worth the hassle, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of agree with what you're saying. I mean, SB, you've requested to speak. Evening, mate.
Patiently waiting here, but cheers for the message, Mick. Nightmare. Anyway, there's all this talk about Jackson out. I think the first thing we need to do is get Chris Thorpe out of the club.
is that the contribution you're putting forward, or have you got anything else to say? Or
cheers.
Oh, thank you for that contribution. but yeah, I mean, going back to obviously tickets, yeah, I mean, as I said, the price increase, I think we all expected it. There was no club, obviously I know some clubs have frozen it, but with obviously the financial restraints we have and the loan and debt we've got to pay off, it was kind of inevitable. But I mean, for people that are kind of 17 or lower or in that age bracket concession, these are the people that kind of are the future of supporting the club. And I know a lot of people that I've spoken to kind of feel like they're not being priced out, but they, you know, cost of living and stuff for people that age is, well, it's just difficult for some people. Evening, George.
Hi, Jack. Just a quick one on the season tickets. We're fan-owned, so at the end of the day, the fans pick up the bill. So we can't really... Anyone who complains about season tickets going up, that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you're then pro-fan ownership as well, you've got to just accept that that's the way it is. If you want to compete, we're 17th in the budget table. That's where we are for a reason, right? Because we don't have the finances for it. So if you want to still remain fan owned, you're going to pick up the bill. Your shirt's going to be expensive. You've got to have these kind of things because otherwise we can't compete. We can't have a budget. We don't currently have a setup where the chairman can just foot the bill, where we can just sort of write off debt. We can't do that. So unfortunately, season ticket prices have to go up. You can't complain unless you're, in my opinion, open to increased investment from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm saying, I know Jonesy has just put a breakdown of obviously the cost. Obviously, it's not me kind of chomping at the bit and saying, oh, you know, I'm not happy. It's just obviously talking to people and obviously reading through the comments and not backlash as such, but it's just, you know, some people aren't happy. It's just seeing obviously people's views on it. Sanch 88, obviously you've come up to speak, and then we'll go to Kevin after.
Can you hear me?
Yes, mate. Yes.
Hello, mate. I thought they'd go up more. So for me, I don't think it's that much of a hit, but I think it's a bit of an own goal with some of the families and things like that, because they are the future of the club. But the bottom line is you're not going to sell season tickets if we're watching this dross every single week. Performances will put bums on seats, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if it was free-flowing football and we were winning every game, I mean, attendances would definitely be up. And obviously the rate of kind of bringing people back for next season will obviously be a lot higher. But yeah, I mean, with families, we've got people that we know that have two kids, and obviously it's not a massive increase, but, you know, it's kind of having to put your hands in your pockets more. And as George said, we're fan-owned and we've got to kind of suck it up, really. So yeah, that's completely understandable. But Kevin, you've got your hand up, mate. What would you like to say?
I get that we're fan owned and we have to pick up the tab, and we all knew that when we moved. You know, I don't think anybody believed that we were going to move from King's Meadow paying like 250 quid a year to pay 250 quid at Plough Lane. It weren't going to happen. It's a totally different experience. I think we all get that. But you can't get away from the fact that families, you know, and youngsters are what's going to carry this club on. So surely you should be encouraging them people to come, not discouraging them by forcing them, almost saying to them, if you don't want to sit there, then we're going to hike the prices up. I think at the end of the day, yeah, it would have been far better to say, okay, well, let's put another tenner on every season ticket or something and do it that way to generate it, because I think that way they would have generated more money. By doing what they're doing, you'll probably push people away, because they'll go, do you know what, we don't want to go from sitting in the West Stand with quite a good view and all the facilities are there to go in sitting in what is probably one of the worst parts of the ground, right in that corner. So I don't think it's the right way to do it.
I agree with you, Kevin, on the £10, £20 on the normal seat. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we have to raise the money somewhere and stuff, and so someone makes a decision. But, yeah, I mean, if my ticket had gone up by 20, 30, 40, I mean, I personally wouldn't have minded it. You're in the West Stand, you have the option. If it's too expensive for you as a grown-up, you can always move to a different part of the ground, a cheaper part. But I would rather do that than put the kids' prices up. But that's just me. I mean, and obviously not just me, it's you as well, yeah.
Yeah, I sit in the east, sort of just on the halfway line, yeah. We made a choice that we wanted to sit in that part of the stand to be in a better position. Do you know what? If times come hard and I couldn't afford it, yeah, I'd move to probably a different part of the ground. But I've made that choice, and people will make that choice. But I agree, just a little bit more on ours would have been far better than not penalising the families, but almost pushing them away.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, just, well, I think the one of the other points we're going to go on to is, obviously, if anyone wants to talk about anything else before we go on to this, because we're going through it quite quickly, actually. The playing squad. I know there's been a lot of talk on, obviously, Twitter. Womble's had a dream zone. Lee Finch basically offering out Alex Woodyard. Yeah, I mean, recently I think he's been completely off the pace. But is there kind of players that are here next might not be here next season, but are here this season, that people were kind of very much like, we definitely want out, or players that you'd retain, or, you know, stuff like that, really? Sanch?
Well, for me, Woody's got to go. I know he's got a contract for another year, but I'm not sure how he gets in the starting lineup, let alone captains the squad. His legs are gone. You've got Pierce is probably going to go, although I like him. You could probably get rid of six of the squad, to be honest. Nick is very shaky. He's had a really good part of the season, but he cannot kick the ball when it's at his feet. And, you know, that unnerves the defence. You've really got Curry, who's probably not going to stay. Byler, Ogundiri, El Hamadi and Pell. And then you've got to build something around them, because the rest, I don't think we'd miss them if they were here or not.
Yeah, I think Woody's probably the main person, obviously, I've seen anyway, all over kind of Twitter, that people are just not happy with and want to get out. I think yesterday, I do get annoyed and I do get pissed off at watching us sometimes, but yesterday, Lee Brown, honestly, he was just shit. Like, the point where he put a cross into Al Hamadi and he's looking at him and he's saying, why don't you get onto it? And he's walking back. And in the meantime, all of us are kind of screaming at him, going, your man's running up the pitch. And he's just strolling back like he's walking his dog on the common. Like, to me, I think Lee Brown has got to get rid, because he's on the same money as he was when he was at Portsmouth with us. I mean, you could offer him probably half of what he's on, because he's already multi-millionaire with his, business that he does outside of football, to do with housing and stuff like that. But yeah, Lee Brown for me is just... I think people just liked him just because he swore in an interview last season at Plymouth. But yeah, he's got to go for me as well. Mick? I think you're on mute, mate.
Can you hear me now, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to say, and it's a shame Lee's not here, because I don't like saying stuff when people aren't listening. But no, they'll listen back. I think Lee was wrong to say that he offered Woody out and all that sort of stuff. I don't think fans should go there. I don't know the ins and outs of the exchange and stuff, but I don't think we can do that. I mean, and I'll tell you another thing as well. I often hear fans say that certain players are not trying or they don't care and that. I can tell you that's not true. That is not true. Players always care. And I really think we kind of demean ourselves a bit as a club and as a fan base if we get involved in stuff like that. Whatever anybody thinks of how well Woody's playing, my suspicion is he's playing with an injury anyway, but whatever anybody thinks of that, offering people out is to me, that's not what we should be doing. And, I just wanted to say that. No doubt when I speak to Lee, I'll discuss it with him, but I don't think that's right to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think every... As you said, no player goes out there and wants to be beaten or that result. You said, I don't think any player kind of enjoyed that, or I don't think they didn't not care. I think it was just, if you're playing in the Sunday League and get beaten 5-1, you're obviously going to be a bit like, fucking, like, what's the point? But you can kind of gauge what I'm trying to say. But yeah, for me, it's just, I think every player who's getting abuse, even Al Hamadi yesterday, I've noticed it a lot of times from sitting behind the goal. When people are booing, he always pretty much shakes his head and tells us to fuck off. Because they're human, and I think that they're completely in their right mind to obviously voice their opinion back. Robin?
I mean, personally, I think it's a pretty tough situation with Woody, because it's something I doubt we'll ever really know. But I think he has mentioned he's playing with an injury. And I think there's a chance he's just got pretty unlucky with the side of history, which sounds pretty dramatic. But sort of in regards to that, in if we've been doing well and then it comes out he's been playing with an injury, but he's been doing it for the club because he thinks that's right and he's the captain the whole time, I think you get a lot of people saying, well done, good on you. But because he's not playing that well and things aren't going right, I mean, I think it's a tough one. Because, I mean, yes, he as a captain, he's never seemed to be a complete vocal leader in the way that many people, I'm probably quite rightly, want him to be. But at the same time, sometimes that's just not the type of person you'll get. Maybe a manager should be doing something about that. But I find it tough because I don't know. I think he might have a year on his contract anyway. So there's a chance we'll see him next year either way. But I just because we don't know all these details, and I know there's a lot sort of going along about wanting to know more details, which I'm in various areas, which I'm very much behind. But I do feel for him in that way, at least.
Yeah, I think we're going to go to Sanj, and then obviously George put his hand up as well. Sanj?
Yeah, just briefly, Woody, like Robin said, he probably was pushed back too quick. But, you know, that's on the club. You know, they've done it with Little when he's out for the rest of the season. But ultimately, you've got to be a leader. And he doesn't come across like that at times. I've seen him give people absolute bollockings when maybe they need a different approach. I thought yesterday he was trying to sort of get people going, but just for me, he's not at it, and we need a change. You know, I don't want anyone to fail in that squad, but the senior pros are letting down the youngsters, because the youngsters are the ones for me that are doing it. Lee Browns, Woody, a couple of others, they're not pulling their weight. And, you know, for me, that's where we need to change for next season.
George, do you have anything to add, mate?
No, I agree on Woody. I think Jackson should realise that he's playing with an injury that's putting him so far off the pace that it's almost unfair that he's still getting played. Jackson should really take him out and be like, look, you're not fit. Take some time out of side. But at the same time, a lot of people give Woody shit for being, you know, not a great captain. He can't baby all the players. You've got players making mistakes every week. Tans yesterday, like, he can't do much about that. Can't do much about Will losing his man week in, week out. You know, Woody isn't a miracle worker. He can't tell the defence to mark a man. You should learn that are under sixes. So at the same time, people give him a load of stick for being a shite captain. It's not really his fault that pros can't do their jobs.
Yeah, and I think obviously Woody is... I know a lot of people do question, obviously, his ability of being a captain. But in this squad, I know Pierce would probably be the ideal captain replacement, but obviously he doesn't play week in, week out because he can't, you know. So, but I don't really think there's anyone in this team that for me comes across as a natural born leader, someone that will kind of put their arm around a player. Like Barley yesterday when he gave away the pen, which by the way was never a pen ever in a million years, and even the second goal where I don't think you can really blame him. He did the right thing and turned to his man. But that's two mistakes within 5 minutes that cost two goals. You know, I saw Barla having to do Woody's job and basically tell the players to relax and calm down. And even Curry last week where he gave the back pass header against Stevenage, I didn't see one person go up to him, put his arm around him and go, come on, mate, let's just chin up, let's crack on. I don't think there's that natural leader in the squad. I don't know if anyone wants to add on to that at all.
Harry Pell, give him a go.
Harry Pell's not... he's not a captain. He's probably a decent vice-captain. But Pierce is your man, realistically, but he's not fit enough. The problem is, he can't play more than... You're going to get 12 games next season out of him, at best. So you've got to bring in some players who are proper leaders. Harry Pell, I know he gets bigged up in our fan base. Is he actually that good of a player? He's just a quote unquote shithouse who falls over every time he gets pushed.
Yeah, Sanj.
I don't disagree with that, but I think, like, was it Kevin who was just speaking? Pierce to me looks like the leader out there, but he's not fit enough to get a run of game. So you need someone that's going to be consistently there. And who is that person? I don't know.
I don't think we have one, and that's one of the major problems that we've had this year. Nobody to grab hold of them and shake them up and get them going. He's not that sort of person, Woody. You can see that. You know, if he's injured, he shouldn't be playing. Bendall, you know, Bendall's been available for a lot of the games that he's allegedly been injured. He should have been out and Bendall should have been in, but we don't have that person. Pierce is probably that person, but like you say, he's not going to play week in, week out. But you could also look at the point that if we'd managed him better, he would have played more games than he has done, because everybody knew he couldn't play Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, but they continually pounded him Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And guess what? He breaks down. You know, goes back to the year we had Hansen as the striker. Yeah. From January onwards, he didn't train. He just sat on a bike every day because they knew he knew what to do. He knew how to play. He didn't need to train every day. We'd have looked after Pierce a bit better. We'd have got more time out of him, definitely. But yeah, I think he's your captain.
Yeah, I think Pell, I mean, he's probably amazing to have in the dressing room, and he's probably kind of gets the players up for it and kind of makes a nice atmosphere. But for me, he's not I wouldn't say he's a leader in the same kind of bracket as what Pierce would be. And as George said, Pierce, when he went through that stage of playing Saturday, Tuesday, he can't do it. And that's when he kind of gets out for kind of prolonged period. And I mean, after 60 minutes, he runs around like an ironing board. He hasn't got the legs to play the Saturday, Tuesdays. But even Woody, you say put Bendall in there. I think Woody's only playing because we've got no one in that position. I'm not saying Woody's amazing. I think in his pomp last season, before obviously that really awful run, I thought he was incredible. I thought it was amazing. I would obviously happily keep him if he carried on that form. But Bendall, for me, he can't defend. And I think that's the downfall. And even George Marsh, I don't think George Marsh is better than an injured Woody. For me, so I think that's the only reason why he's playing week in, week out. And the fact of the matter is, I think he's playing because he's the only option we have in that position that can do his role. Mick?
Yeah, on Bendall, it'll surprise few people to hear me say that I really rate him. And clearly the management don't, otherwise, as Kevin said, he's been available all season, so we would have played him, wouldn't we? If they thought he was any good, we'd have played him. But time will tell, I guess, and I've seen details released this week, and not released, but rumours about his contract. I must admit, I always feel a bit uneasy about that because I don't think it's really fair on players to release that sort of stuff, but particularly young players. One or two fans commenting that, therefore, he's a waste of money and the rest of it, and he hasn't done anything. Well, he ain't going to do anything if he doesn't play, does he? I mean, it's difficult for a fella to have much of an impact on a game of football when he's sitting on his ass on the bench. But yeah, I mean, he's one of them guys. We're going to have to just kind of watch this space, aren't we? My suspicion is that either in the summer of this year, we'll find someone to take him off our hands, or at the end of his contract, we'll find somebody to take him off our hands, and then we'll find out whether who was right and who was wrong about him, I guess. I mean, if he ends up playing for Bromley or someone in the Vanarama League or whatever league they're in, then we were right not to play him, weren't we? If he ends up getting, by the time he's 21, playing in League One or the Championship, which is what I suspect will happen, then we were probably wrong, weren't we? I mean, it's very much the same as Zach Robinson. I mean, the managers clearly don't like him either. And on that one, I disagree with them too. I think he's a good player. But we'll see. I mean, he's at Dundee and they look like they're going to get promoted. I suspect they might buy him in the summer and then... And then I guess time will tell, won't it? We will know within a year or two who was right, who was wrong. But I mean, at the end of the day, I run a pub in Wimbledon. They run the football club. So you've got to hope that they know more about it than I do. But yeah, just on Bendall, I couldn't just let it go without saying that, yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of Wimbledon fans, I've seen him in cameos and the rest of it. And I think he's got some in the kid. But yeah, for whatever reason, we're not going to see it, I don't think. I think it's about time everyone kind of accepted that. He's not going to get a goal. He certainly won't play on Saturday, I shouldn't think.
George, you had your hand up for a second.
Yeah, so I just want to say, I do think as a fan base, we do tend to massively overrate some of our players, especially our own youngsters, because we've had quite a few recently do well. You know, we've had Biller, Curry, you know, Ogundere's done well in spells this season as well. So we think Ayoub and Rudoni before that. So I think now we think everyone's going to be ready. And the reality is you get one, maybe two from each year group you put through a pros who are actually going to cut it week in, week out. we've been lucky recently. So then I think sometimes we do overrate it with, you know, saying, oh, all these kids are going to come in, Bendel's going to be different gravy. If he was, he'd be playing. And I don't buy this, oh, it's management don't rate him. If he was properly good enough, he'd be playing. Because JJ showed Biller's comeback was straight back in the team on Saturday, wasn't he? JJ could have played Ogundare or Gunter and brought Biller on, but he showed he's got faith in it. So I think we do tend to overrate, not just youngsters as well, then we overrate players like Harry Pell coming back is going to completely change our midfield. Well, he was, that's not how it works. So I think we've got to just be careful, you know, saying Ali's, for example, a £2.5 million player. He scored goals for 6 months. He hasn't done anything the rest of his career. So, you know, as a fan base, we've just got to, I think, maybe put a lid on some of our expectations of some of our own players.
Robin?
Well, quickly on the money part, I think there's always a gap between what you think it'd be worth it to lose someone and what their actual market value might be. And I've got a feeling there's a decent number of us who'd want a bit more money than we'd actually get in order to lose him. So I don't know what the situation is there. But they also, I just, with like trust in players, I can't fathom the reason for the subbing on of Jack Curry on a, was it 90 plus 3, 90 plus 4? And unless there's like something in it, like some agreement we have, like if he plays more money, we'll get more money for him or something. Or if I had to be incredibly cruel, that Johnny's got confused and doesn't know, has got a bit confused when you make substitutions in injury time and thinks that you do it when you're losing, not when you're winning. That is harsh, but it I just don't get stuff like that. Why bring him on? The similar thing with Jenkins, although I suppose he was going in for the header at the Stevenage match, but just why?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are screaming out for youngsters to get a go because we can see the seniors aren't maybe doing what we expect them to do. But Stevenage bringing on Jenkins and then putting him in the box and then playing it short, I think all of us were just confused by. We've got players on the bench, like Bendel, for example. I do kind of agree with what George was saying. I think if he was kind of cut above, he would be starting or maybe not starting, but making more cameos. But he's just getting splinters in his arse. And obviously, he's not going to progress or he's not going to gain value by doing that. So I think he's got 1 year left in his contract after summer. Whether he stays or not, obviously, that's just... No one knows. That's down to Craig Cope and the management. But yeah, I mean, just youngsters, it's, I think, yeah, I do agree with George, like the hit factory is so it's called, all the players coming through the academy and doing well, like your Currys and Bylers. Are we getting to a stage now where, obviously I know we've got Morgan Williams, who I think hopefully should come into the senior squad next year, because I think he's got a lot of potential. But are we kind of relying too much on young players as maybe not a bailout as such, but are we relying on them too much to kind of come through at the rate where they have done before? We'll go to Kevin and then Mick quickly.
I don't think it's a case of bigging up every player that comes through the academy. You know, Bendel was out on loan. Yeah, then they bought him back. What was, you know, if they didn't fancy him, what was the point in bringing him back? Why not leave him out on loan? You know, Curry had a full year's loan last year, and you can see he's come back. He's played men's football, solid men's football for a year, done really well at Eastbourne, and it's worked for him. So if you're not going to play somebody, leave him out on loan, give him a chance to play, you know, get him scouted, watch what he's doing. So it just makes no sense. If you're not going to play him, don't bring him back. We did the same with Robinson. Why bring him back when you're going to loan him out, you know, two weeks later or whatever? It's crazy.
I think a lot of it was literally when we had that kind of injury scare of players not being available. I think it was just us shit in the bed, really, and just thinking we need more personnel within the playing squad. I mean, 1 week I did miss going to a Wimbledon game and I went to go and watch Eastbourne versus Dulwich. And I mean, defensively, Bendel was not, he was just not great. Attacking wise, he can string passes through the channels and he dictates that midfield. But defensively, he is a liability at that level. So imagine what he'd be like at a League Two level where he would just be completely exposed to massive, huge midfielders that are more skilled than those in the National League.
But he's only going to get that experience by going out and playing on loan.
Of course, and I think he should have been kept out, but obviously we might have tarnished his development by bringing him back and then putting him on the bench or leaving, even against Harrogate, leaving him out of the squad completely. I mean, why is he not travelling up with the squad? No one knows the answers. It's only management and stuff like that. Mick?
Yeah, just briefly coming back to George's point when he said about Ali being worth $2.5 million and us overrating players and stuff. I kind of agree with Kevin here. I don't think we do overrate our players. I mean, there's quite a few of the youngsters. I won't go into names and stuff that I think probably won't make it in truth. But sometimes when you watch footballers, you see a little flash of something and you think, you know, maybe he's got something about him. And I certainly think that with Alfie Bendel. And when we say that about, or when I say that, I think Ali's going to worth, I think he's worth a lot of money and I think he's the best striker in League Two and blah, blah, blah. I said after we played for us for three or four times, if that was the case. When you put your opinion out as early as I do, obviously you're going to get it wrong sometimes. But that's, to me, it's kind of all part and parcel of being a football fan. We get a guy who smashes 125 yards and it's okay to dream. It's okay if we draw West Brom in the FA Cup to think that we might beat him. We might beat him, you know. It's okay to dream. You don't have to think that because you've got a budget that they tell me is the 17th highest in the league, that necessarily means that we have to get beat every week. I think part of our problem is going in with that attitude. If we organise ourselves properly and we coach our players well and we have a winning mentality and we stick together and we have a good team, you can go a long way and you can roll people over. And I think I've said what I said about Ali, that I think he's the best striker in the league, and I think we'll have a lot of clubs knocking on our door, offering us big money in the summer. We haven't got long to wait, have we? In 3 or 4 weeks' time, people can say to me, Mick, you know what, you were talking out your arse, no one's coming for him, he's not worth anywhere near what you said he is. And fair enough, I'll put my hands up and say, fair enough, I'm wrong, but we'll see. I have to say I have been right once or twice as well, so we'll see. But on Alfie Bendel, yeah, I do rate him. I think he's got something about him. And incidentally, I think part of the reason why I don't put his defensive capabilities as low as you do, Jack, but to me he's an 8, not a 4 as well. We play him as we sit in front of the back four and he's in the wrong position. He should be an 8 in my opinion. So if I think we played him 8, he'd see a different player. But I just pull pints for a living, so you know, what do I know? But that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people agree if he was in a more kind of forward position, he would be kind of a lot better. But what was it, the game where we had Pierre playing centre forward and we had Bendel dropping in at centre back, you know, he's been pushed into the areas where, for me, he gets overrun in that midfield. Putting him at centre back while you've got Pierre up front, I mean, I get the idea and the sentiment behind the kind of trying to get a goal, but you know, it's just, I think the management of maybe some players, certainly for some people, might be quite debatable of how they're being dealt with, especially the youngsters. I think we're going to wrap up at past 12. So if anyone's got anything to say quickly, please obviously just chip in. No? Okay. Well, I think thank you everyone for listening. Hopefully, Lee will be back next week because I'm sure he does a better job than me at hosting. Or Graham Stacey wants to actually come on quickly. We'll listen to 50 Shades of Graham. Graham?
Hello. Sorry, yeah. Thanks for that. I was just going to catch you just before you go. I know you were talking about it earlier, the May the 2nd meeting. I've just seen so many people say they can't go. And I think that's a real shame. And I just wanted to say, I think if people can make the effort and get there, they really should. Because I think we've been fighting for something like this, to have the PLC front up about what the grand plan is for months. And I think we've bullied them into actually doing it. And people are, you know, online, they probably want blood. But I think if we're going to get an explanation as to why we're not getting that blood, then let's hear it. Let's challenge and... let's make it if we can, because I don't want them to have an excuse not to do it again. I think they should be doing it every few months. I think they should have been doing it for for months now through the season. As I say, we've been sort of pushing them to do it for about 3 months. We finally got it. And if there's a low turnout, they've got every excuse not to do it again. So, well, you know, people didn't turn up. They weren't that interested. But I'm very keen to hear why Jackson hasn't gone. And I'm sure I've been reassured that there is a plan. And I want to know what that plan is, because if you're just going on, you know, performances, then any other club, he's gone, you know, 3-4 months ago, whatever. So I'm very keen to hear the plan. I think people should go with an open mind, but also do challenge. Do be there. Do challenge. Don't accept the first answer and applaud politely, because we're so polite, aren't we? We you know, we've kind of been calling for blood the last game or so after the game, but, you know, we were 5-1 down and we weren't really that bad, I don't think. I think we weren't politely applauding as much as normal. But I think it's a great opportunity to get things off our chests. And I do think we should turn up as much as we can, challenge as much as we can, and make sure this becomes a regular thing. So, yeah, turn up, guys. I'll see you there. Cheers.
Kevin, looks like we're carrying on. Do you want to add anything, Kevin?
Yeah, I was just going to quickly agree with Graham. Unfortunately, I'm going to be away on holiday, so I can't make it. But there is a real, real question. And I know this question's been asked and Danny's come back with an answer. But there is a real, real question to be asked why that meeting is not next Saturday. It's the ideal opportunity, either before the game or after the game, for them to front up to the fans, yeah, and get fans there. Not just a handful who live locally or can make it on a Tuesday night or whatever. That should be an open meeting that everybody has a fair, good crack to attend.
Yeah. I was going to ask Graham, actually, before, obviously, we finish.
Yeah.
I've seen, obviously, in a couple of group chats about the Don's Trust SGM coming up quite soon. Obviously, I know there's talks of, obviously, the London Irish speculation that came out in the Mail and, obviously, released by the club late last night.
Yeah.
Have you got anything to add, kind of, about why people that are part of the Don's Trust should attend, and obviously to hear of plans of, I know, the 50 plus one paper that's still happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the trust. I'm not on the board, rather. But I would encourage people to go. I'd encourage people to challenge. I think it's a bit... it feels like we're an inconvenience sometimes, because there's the women's game on that day and then there's the end-of-season party. And I think the SGM's restricted to about 2 hours, which doesn't leave that long for questioning, which I get the feeling there'll be a lot of questions. It should be quite an interesting one. You know, they do provide oversight. They challenge the PLC, obviously being the operational board. So I think there's a lot of legitimate questions to be asked of the DTB, plus the 50% plus one paper, which is massive. That, we are told, will be out in good time for the SGM, which is on the 30th, which doesn't leave that long, given it involves basically selling 25% of the club. It's quite a big discussion. Again, I don't think 2 hours at the SGM is going to be enough for everything that needs getting through. London Irish, obviously, was a rumour doing the rounds for a while, but there was a news piece that came out in reaction to the leak through the Daily Mail. But again, that's a big discussion. It'd be interesting to hear more, if there is more to hear. So, yeah, I do think it's a bit of a shame that it's been sort of sandwiched between events and, you know, it feels like a bit restrictive. But again, it should be something that we should attend and use, because we're the owners and that's our opportunity to ask tough questions and get good answers.
Sanj?
Very quickly, just to come back to Kevin, I don't think it's ever a good idea to have it after a match, because emotions just run too high. And things, you know, we need a little bit of time to think about things and come back. Like Graham said, this really needs to be attended in numbers, articulate ourselves accordingly, because this has only happened because we've bullied them into it. The club should be doing this before we're pushing for it. And that's sort of my say on it.
Kev?
Yeah, I get all that. I get that might be, you know, emotions might be running a little high after we've been thumped again or something like that, yeah. But you want as many people there as you can, and you cannot deny that in the same way as the Meet the Manager was on a dark Tuesday night and stuff like this, yeah, it's not right. If you want as many people there, make it easy for people to attend. Give people the opportunity. You are limiting it to a very, very small sort of niche group who can make it there. A lot of people don't live locally. They can't get to these things. But you know what? They'll be there on a Saturday to watch the game. So I get what you say. But if you want, and do you know what? There's no point in it being all nicey-nicey and, like Graham says, all standing around and clapping. And it ain't about that. It's about time people stood up and asked awkward questions and didn't accept the first answer that comes back. And I think you'll get that if it's done at that particular time. So that's why I think it should be then.
Yeah, I think obviously going on from what Graham said, I think a lot of people should obviously attend, ask the questions that are relevant to what fans want to hear. Awkward questions are going to be asked. I think maybe Jackson and Skiverton, I don't think Skiverton's there, but I think Jackson probably should be heavily briefed on some of the questions that will be asked by maybe people kind of with pre-planned questions. Because ultimately he's human and I think he looks fragile already in the interviews. And he's a manager and he's got to kind of accept that his play style or the results haven't been good enough. But as I say, I think next week will be very telling of maybe Mick Buckley on how he responds. Because I know a lot of people aren't really his biggest fans of him just being instated as kind of the head of it all when kind of we didn't elect him to be there. But yeah, I think even with the SGM, I think that's one of the main kind of reasons to join the Don's Trust. I know a lot of people don't kind of relate to it, but if you're not in it, you can't vote and you can't speak about what potentially is coming up in the future with these rumours flying about. So yeah, I don't know. Graham, you've got anything to add before we obviously just wrap up?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I'll say, you know, obviously, having said everything else, I think we'd be civil. We are a civil fan base and I think keep it civil. I think well done to the club for recording it, which, you know, hasn't happened in the past with Meet the Managers. I've been a fairly vocal critic of that, but I think they've learned a lesson in that one and are doing that. So well done. Yeah, be civil, obviously, but don't be afraid to ask those questions and do send them in advance. They're taking advanced questions as well, so there's no reason to miss out. So have your voice heard.
Lovely. So yeah, I think we're going to wrap up quickly. Again, thank you for everyone that listened. Lee will be back next week to take over and most probably do a better job than myself. So thank you for all listening and have a lovely rest of your Sunday evening.